Blog Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now? Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like those Sheikins and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all seeking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folk face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at its own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do you think they really ready for you now? Do you think that there'll be many of you now? Do you really think they ready for you now?
Very wise was he. Chicago's legendary WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Ooh! Mm. Ooh, wee. Mm. All right. Mm. Yeah. Y'all like that, huh? Say it loud, say it loud, say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I am black and I'm proud. How you doing this morning? Wake up, y'all. It's early in the morning. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I know it's fall and laid back, and y'all laid back, and you just relaxing and don't want to wake up. But if you had listened to the show just before me, it should have got y'all fired up. I always listen to him on my way. You're going to have to follow him online because I understand that's his last day was today. We only get a few minutes with him. That show before me in the morning time. But anyway, they were talking, you know, one of the talks was about the young man who got murdered. Once again, blacks are without sanctuary. We are without sanctuary, without sanctuary. They have had us without sanctuary in this country for a long time. And it's like recycle of stuff that happened to us. So we're going to talk about, when I can get me some coffee here, I haven't had any coffee all morning, I'm trying to get my voice. Everybody bring me my coffee. I just got into New York. My flight was delayed in New York for 4 hours. And I'm still feeling it. But I had to go. But I'll tell you about my trip to New York in a minute. But I was thinking about how we are still without sanctuary. We don't talk about blacks being without sanctuary in this country. What do you think it is? Do you think we're still without sanctuary? Do you know what sanctuary is? Maybe some of you don't know what it is. We are true sanctuary because we have not had sanctuary in this country since we've been here. We've had manipulation when we manipulated. We have been really messed up in this country. They have really picked on us, messed over us. And one of the things talking about the Dick Gregory was over there, was talking about Tulsa and the other things, all of the things that had happened to us, and I was interested in that, and I'm going to have to pull that down. We should probably go on Blog Talk or something because I really want to hear the show. Because Dick was talking about the how we call ourselves crabs in the barrel. We're really not. We're not thinking about the hot water that caused the crabs to jump around like that. And, you know, every time I hear Dick, I always appreciate him. But when we talk about the young man who murdered Kendrick Johnson, you know, I have grandchildren, I have friends, and I have granddaughters, and I have daughters. Kendrick is, I'm trying to see what evidence, Kendrick is the one with the radio show, I think. Lowndes County, Kendrick Johnson is from Lowndes County. He's the one that was, Lowndes County, you might think, was in Alabama, but it's in Georgia. Those in Alabama, when I heard Lowndes County, I immediately thought of Lowndes County, Alabama, because you know all the history of Lowndes County struggle and all the role they played into lynching black people and even down to slavery and all the big plantations that was. That's in Lowndes County, Alabama, right outside of Montgomery. But this is in Lowndes County, Georgia. Young men without sanctuary, we all have young men. I mean, come on. I won't talk about that a little bit this morning. I won't talk about a lot of that stuff too often. We've got to talk about this sanctuary, how we are without sanctuary in many ways, not just in terms of our lives, but in terms of economics, in terms of education, in terms of our babies. You know, yes, you said, why you get upset when someone murdered one of our youth than when we be hurting each other? It's two different violations. Neither one of them are good. But this is really something, and we need to just talk about that for a moment today. I went to New York to see Motown play. It's the Berry Gordy story, really. The Berry, they had his hand right on it, all over it. Very good play. It's coming to Chicago in May, and certainly the Harold Washington Culture Center is going to be working along with them to do some things in the community. And do some things relating to this play. And we were there seeing the play and meeting with some of the people. We met with some of the people in New York, meet with them, which we'll bring you later after everything is all worked out in terms of what we're going to be doing with them. But, you know, sitting there watching this Berry Gordy story, and, you know, it was very raw, and I'm not going to tell you all about it because it really dealt with racism in this country. I was at an audience about 97% white, and I saw a few Chicagoans there. Leanne Richardson, I saw she and her family there with her mother now. But the way some of the things they laughed about wasn't funny to me. And some of the things that were said, they really didn't understand. And really, you got a generation who's just carrying out what they're carrying out on behalf of the Europeans without understanding, you know, that it's really something that you got this black and white young generation who have a lack of understanding, but the young white generation is carrying on what his mother's teaching him or his father's teaching him or her to do, which is to perpetuate the racism that exists. But it was interesting, and I don't want to tell you too much because I want you to enjoy the show when it comes out, but to look at and to see, and to really, because I always wondered, and I have to read, I got to read Mr. Beery's book. It's out of print, but I'm going to find it. How historically, I've said to you that when you say we don't have anything and we don't know how to pool our resources, we don't know how to do this, we don't know how to do that, you really don't understand history and how historically our community has been wiped out when we did economics. Whether it's S.B. Fuller, if you look at Wall Street, Rosewood, even the communities here, everybody, we had a vibrant community in Chicago. You had quite a few businesses in Chicago that was black and good. But the overall businesses within our community was from the Jewish community who gave us credit to buy stuff, sell us something that cost $100 or $400. We talk about how much fun we had at the Regal, but the Regal was not owned by black people, even though we had a lot of talent there and we put a lot of money into the Regal. Black folks were able to showcase their talent as they were farmed out to other white companies like Chess and all of them who really didn't, you know, they had no sanctuary, even in the music business. Whereas when you look at Harold Washington Culture Center, it is owned and operated by blacks. And we have to look and maintain our own music. Watching the show and really seeing the genius of Mr. Gordy, how he pulled together these team of people and the different things that they did and all the stuff they did and how they was able to have that meeting, their production meeting, the things they did. And just looking at all of that talent and all of that energy and all that connection from the black community that represented the spirit of the diaspora, really. That's why when you travel abroad and you go to the diaspora, go to Africa, you go to clubs and stuff, and you hear, when I was there, I went to one of the clubs, and they said we were going to the club, and I thought I was going to hear African music, and I was hearing highlight music. What is highlight music? That was our music. And, you know, I was sitting there thinking, when all of those acts was bought out by major companies with major money from Motown, most of them never had any more hits once they left Barry. And that's something to think about. It might have been what was all put out to be because we don't have sanctuaries in our educational system. The teachers have found out. So this is all a long-range plan that was put out. Well, we're going to have to stop this. So now what you have, across the board with our sanctuary and our music, businesses, which mean our job security, our children out there who's getting murdered, across the board. If you look at the music today, you'll find that if you think back, all the music you was listening to came from us. The harmony, the duet, the singing, the love, all of them. We was churning, Barry and all of them was turning out the music, and a lot of the independent other record companies was doing the same. Turning it out. You can't name me three or four artists. I want you to call and tell me who are really prominent and out there, music that you hear. When you hear black music on these radio stations, it's always the music that was played during my generation, the music that came out of Motown and other black independent record companies. And the music on some of these stations you will hear is that mess that our children don't need to be listening to, but the music we don't hear. Move with our sanctuary, take our economics, take a man like Mr. Gordy, and just, you know, I got a chance to see what they had done to him. How they bought off all his artists for more money. How it's worth trying to get his book to. I hope we put it back in print. And how they just really did him, because I couldn't figure out how did he sell the company in the first place, but I got an understanding by seeing that story. Wall Street, you look at economics, they just bombed Wall Street. And it's interesting because blacks back there didn't feel they had sanctuary. They scattered. They didn't rebuild. Some of them came here. You know, John Rogers' family was part of that Black Wall Street. That's why he supported our reparation movement. But they just kind of scattered, worried about these white folks getting them back, getting them. John Hope Franklin, everybody liked to talk about, but he got out of Tulsa. Everybody got out of there. And that's what they've done. They bombed and they dropped bombs into the houses in Tulsa. They took Mr. S.B. Fuller and they put him out of business for some just a few dollars. It wasn't that much money in the scheme of things, but because of what he was doing, they had to do it. That's economic without sanctuary. Madam C.J. Walker, money with a purpose. All the things they did, you know, come to find out later on that Madam C.J. Walker's right hand was an FBI agent. And they was after Madam C.J. Walker because she supported the black movement. Marcus Garvey's wife worked for her. So they came after her, the anti-lynching. She supported Ida B. Wells. So you had blacks during that time who had money with a purpose. So we don't have sanctuary, even when we lift someone up in our communities. They don't come back to the black community with the energy they should have to rebuild that community. They're almost frightened. They think that if they come back and really rebuild black community, that they'll lose everything they have without sanctuary. Because in this country, blacks are the only ones who have been discouraged, have been wiped out when you try to do something. It's almost like you are punished harshly if you work on behalf of black people. If you write on behalf of black people, I was listening to All the Sons, and I heard All the Sons was like a marriage to the movement. They was telling our story through their songs, kept getting it out, helping us get over. They were doing that. And now these people, they said, well, I'm, you know. And then when it comes to other charities giving to other communities, they'd be the first one in line. I remember all that money Oprah gave to them to build Millennium Park. And I had sent out a letter and had asked her to help us build a statue for her Washington. They said, not at this time. It's what people choose to do and how they choose. They want to stay. And it's an illness. Keep in mind that post-traumatic slavery syndrome, it is an illness that we're under. A lot of the teachers did not think they'll be the same today as the brother or sister that's at home. They never thought they'd be getting food stamps. But they will be having problems because they thought they had a secure job, but they wiped black teachers out without sanctuaries. Schools are terrible. Our children are not being prepared. They don't have sanctuaries. Then you tell them some safe passes. Safe passes is not a sanctuary for black children. You know, we just got a lot to do. And as I talk to leaders in the city and around the country, I told them that we can't be like these little punks on the street that we say can't get themselves together, shooting up each other, and not come together, and we have to look at each other. And those of us who understand, I was talking to a brother the other day who came out of this movement, and we understand this and what to do, that we can't be having so many Turks that we can't come together and do what we have to do. So we want to talk about sanctuary and talk about our community, where we have to go. I'm very pained by this young man. And he must have felt like we stupid. They would lynch a brother in the tree and say he hung himself. Thing about this is that the young blacks don't know how to deal with it. I said they have pain that they cannot explain. It's like, oh, wow, look what they did. Yeah, they did. They did to you, too. That's why they lynch people. That's why they burn people. They were barbecuing them and all kind of things. Emmett Till. I mean, Trayvon Martin and this young man, Emmett Till all over. So we have to deal with internal, external. We got to deal with these racist dogs being predators of our children and our community. And at the same time, we got to deal with his emissaries that's out here that's killing up our children, killing up each other. So we're like, we got the external, internal fight. And then we have to deal with the group who made it and won't put back. And have joined the enemy, have crushed us. And they don't even realize what they're doing. They think they really have made it. So let's talk, y'all. I really enjoyed my trip to New York. So let's talk this morning. You're listening to Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live on www.wvon.com. We're also on iHeartRadio for those who have iHeart pull us down on your smartphone, y'all. You got us. You can carry us any way you want to. We're on Blog Talk. We're on Facebook, Group Facebook, and I think we're still on blackplanet.com. I got to ask everybody. And my Twitter, you know, I don't tweet a lot, but I do have a Twitter. So get your coffee, get your tea, call your friends, tell them to wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, and come on back and talk to me. This is Dorothy Wright, tell me with coffee, tea, and a conversation with me in Chicago at WVON, and I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Citizens of America, this is a message from feedthepig.org. Americans spent more money than they earned in 2005. This is the first negative savings rate in the U.S. since the Great Depression. America, we must start feeding the pig. On the 1st and the 15th, we must pay ourselves before we pay anyone or anything. We must make a budget. Even consider cutting up a credit card. Log on to feedthepig.org today. Find the benefits of saving for every stage of life. Brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Mozart knows these
hearts
are very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
Fame,
and so delicious,
and extra delicious.
And so you'll be like how impactful you think this talk can be. Feel good, make more friends, accept their individuality.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council. What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
There are all sorts of excuses for not saving energy. It's only one lamp. It's
just one TV. It's like all the way in the other room. What difference will it make if I turn things off when I'm done with them or not? If we switch to energy-saving light bulbs, or put in a programmable thermostat, how much energy and money could it possibly save? Sometimes I wonder if we could be more efficient with the energy we have now and tuck away more resources for later.
You know, it just never hurts to plan more for the future. My name is
Cole, and I'm going to get started today.
We can all help save more energy for tomorrow. What's your excuse? For more energy-saving tips that also save money, visit loseyourexcuse.gov/parents. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy, the Ad Council, and the station.
At Habitat for Humanity, with your help, the numbers are adding up. 3 decades, thousands of volunteers, nearly 90 countries around the world, 300,000 houses, 1.5 million people living in simple, decent, affordable homes. But the most important number is one. One volunteer, one house, one family, one child, safe and sound, under a roof you helped the family build. Every 15 minutes, somewhere in the world, this story is repeated. One more home built, one more family, helping to build and purchase their own home. Together we can eliminate substandard housing. Won't you join us? Support the work of Habitat for Humanity in your hometown or wherever your heart leads you. Now more than ever, volunteer, get involved, and help build it. Visit us at habitat.org.
Wow, that's a lot of books. Little one at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. Childproofing your home, childproofing your yard, childproofing your in-laws' home and yard.
Of all the things you can read to keep your child safe, the most important is attached to their car seat. Read the instruction manual and use the latch system. It makes it easier to be sure your child's car seat is installed correctly. Learn more at safercar.gov. Anchor, tether, latch. The next generation of child safety. A message from the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ag Council.
Take a little shortbread, crunchy nut bars. How many cheeks? Take a little shortbread, crunchy nut bars. How many cheeks in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Take a little shortbread, catchy nut bars. How many cheeks?
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I'm not comfortable with this. I think Jason should go to college now. I don't want him putting this off. He's already talked to a recruiter. Could you just talk some sense into
him? I understand, but I think if you just listen to him, you'll see. His decision makes a whole lot of sense. He wants to go to college right now, but he also wants to serve. That's why he's been talking to a National Guard recruiter.
The National Guard gives young men and women the unique opportunity to serve their country and communities part-time while they attend college.
You know, we've also got to figure out how we're going to pay for all this. The way things are these days, tuition, room and board, they're through the roof. And with our finances...
Don't worry. He's worked that out with the Guard recruiter, too.
Plus, with the National Guard scholarship and other financial benefits, college students can graduate debt-free. Get to know what serving in the National Guard can do for your son or daughter. Visit NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Illinois National Guard. Aired by the Illinois Broadcasters Association and this station.
Diary entry, August 15th. My joints ache. Today I can hardly move. I need some answers.
September 3rd. I'm tired all the time. What's going on?
June 8th. I woke up with a rash on my face. I want to know why.
For answers, ask your doctor the right question. Could I have lupus? For answers, for support, for hope, visit couldihavelupus.gov or call 1-800-994-9662. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health and the Ad Council.
I want to help more kids graduate from high school.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Sean Miller wants to teach you. He bears the scars of tragedy and wants you to learn from his experience.
I knew what a white person did. I knew that it was dangerous, that you had to respect it. I always thought those power lines were insulated. That was a huge learning lesson. Had I known more about it before, I might still have two hands and have the job I loved.
Learn more at safeelectricity.org.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate to get help wherever I could.
They promised they would help me. It seemed legitimate.
I paid them a fee and never heard from them again.
I lost thousands of dollars and my home.
Every day, loan modification scammers target homeowners who are worried about foreclosure. Anyone can be a victim, but you don't have to be. Avoid any person or company who asks for a fee in advance, who guarantees they can stop a foreclosure or modify a loan. or who tells you to stop paying your mortgage company. For trusted, government-approved help and to report a scam, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. You can also visit www.loanscamalert.org.
Information is your best defense.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WBON.
Say it loud. Say it loud.
Say it loud. Hey, y'all. I'm black and I'm proud. We're back, y'all. This is the Clock of Chicago, 1690 WBON. We're in Chicago. This great VON. I mean, number one talk show in the nation. Don't fool yourself. Everybody listens to VON, even our enemies. They want to know what Courtney is up to through the week. They're trying to see what we, and they want to know what they're going to do on Saturday. Let's have Courtney through the week with Matt, and she's with me on Saturday as the engineer working with Heaven. A lot of things. What we're going to talk about this morning, I told you I was in, I just got back to New York, went to see the Motown play. Also to meet with some of the folks. We're going to be doing some things with them at the Harold Washington Culture Center, but we'll talk about that much later. We're not going to talk about that right now. But you know, my heart is heavy about sanctuary. When we think about what happened here, how are you going to be murdered and you stuck your head into a mat, killed yourself? Kendrick Johnson, 17, roll up on a mat at a high school gym. I'm going to hope Ebony find me some clips from CNN yesterday to hear what the coroner said. He was really racist. Let's play some at the other hour because she's not going to know which piece I want. But he said, are you going to call an inquiry? No, I ain't going to do that. Get out of here. But to find his body stuffed with newspapers, when they did the autopsy, he had newspaper stuff in his body because they had taken his organs, really. You remember when Dick Gregory said way back when, maybe about 20-something years ago, when Wayne Williams, remember Wayne Williams got accused of murdering those children in Atlanta? You know, Andy was the, I think Andy, was Andy in there? No. When they was killing those children in Atlanta, and Dick Gregory said that it was interferon they was trying to get from those young boys that came out of their testicles. And everybody laughed at that. Manny Jackson was the mayor. But then when
later on, they found out that there were certain things the young males had that was interferon, and that the interferon was some of the things that these rich white men was paying a lot of money for. But you know what's so funny is Kendrick is not the only one that they're doing this to. And our children come up missing and nobody say anything. And then I found nothing is said. I guarantee you it's for their organs. An organ is very important these days, worse than Frankenstein. But this young man, I mean, I'm so tired of seeing black women grieve, whether it's from the hands of the white man or the hands of black, or young black youth, to be grieving like that. He, her son, killed, murdered, rolled up on a mat and put in, and they don't say that he was trying to get his gym shoe, but yet when they exhumed his body, they found out the coroner said it was like a choking, like he had got some kind of trauma. There was also blood on the walls. There was a lot of stuff. There's little stuff on the internet now you can get, but it's not real clear. You want to try to find some of the stuff. But I saw the special when I was in New York yesterday on CNN when they were talking and dealing with some of this. So you can look at Don Lemon's show where he really did some to try to see what's going on. This is some serious stuff. Blacks Without Sanctuary. Let's go to the phone. Good morning, Maceo.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. Anyway, I'd like to concur with what you just said in terms of the Regal Theater. In its inception, you are exactly, absolutely right. It was owned by whites. You know, and when you talk about Jews, there are Judaism is a religion, just like Christianity, so there are all types of Jews. But these whites that owned, that developed, that started the Regal Theater and that complex, they, at the beginning when our people came to this country, not this country, the city, they ostracized them. And so as a result of that ostracism, they decided to make their own, and that's when they made Black Metropolis. Black Metropolis, the Pekin Theater that was built and owned by a black man by the name of Robert T. Maltz, was at 2700 South State Street, and it opened in 1905. It was an upscale theater. It was one of the best theaters in the country, and it was.
What kind of play? Movies or they had shows?
No shows. Mm-hmm. And the musical director was about.
Man. I knew they had shows. I just wanted you to tell folks. You said theater people think it's.
Oh, sure. I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and the music director was a man by the name of Jordan, and if it was the same Jordan that. I'm thinking about Anthony Jordan. Anthony Jordan went on to build the Jordan Building on buildings on State Street.
But the thing of it is, but people don't remember the Pekin Theater because they had the Pekin Theaters down south too. That's part of the Pekin City. All the black theaters down south was named Pekin, and Montgomery with the Pekin Theater.
And, it made,
and I bet they was related when we did all of our stuff. But I think that everybody remember the Regal that was not owned by us, and they really played. This is a play there for slave wages.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really didn't make that much money there.
Oh, sure. But, you know, ultimately, as you were mentioned, talked about the great S.B. Fuller, he ultimately purchased it in 1964. So he purchased that entire block, that is South Center.
The boxing ring.
Yeah, the stores and everything. He he ultimately owned it. But in
the Savoy boxing ring, right next to it.
They did, absolutely. Absolutely. But as you were saying, it was initially or originally owned by whites. But in terms of you were talking about citing Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Metropolis was just like that too.
Well, no. Mm-hmm. There was a difference in Tulsa than the Black Metropolis. You had spotted places in the Black Metropolis where you had people who owned businesses.
Well, most of the businesses in Black
Yeah,
Metropolis
but I'm saying Tulsa was a different. You cannot mm-hmm. compare the two. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
So you just can't compare the two. They're not the same. That's all.
Well, okay, but I just want to say that.
Well, we did have a lot of business there, but it wasn't the same as Tulsa. You need to go look at both of them and see the difference.
Well,
so you can go back and
with,
spread your knowledge.
Wait, let me say now with the Black Metropolis though. We did, and I say we as a black
community.
People,
we had some businesses, right.
We had a lot of black businesses. There were a few white businesses.
Now, well, what I'm going to do one day is
in Black Metropolis.
What we're going to do is pinpoint everything that was there.
Sure,
and then
that,
we'll
that would
see.
Be a great thing.
Yeah, we need to do that. And Harold Lucas can do it too, but we can do it.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm saying to you is that you cannot compare what was here with what Tulsa had. It's kind of unique and a little different.
Well, let me just say
but
this.
But I got to go, huh?
Let me just say this in closing, though. But it was the model for the United States. And just in closing, last week I mentioned Clarence Williams. You mentioned the musician Clarence Williams.
But no, don't go there. I got to go.
No, I just wanted to say that he was the grandfather, he and his wife, Eva Taylor, who was a blues singer, was the grandfather of Clarence Williams III.
Okay, but you went past when we were talking about the Metropolis. I got to go now, Maceo.
Okay, and okay. I sent you an email, too.
Okay, I'll look at it. Thank
okay.
you. Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
I was thinking I'd get one more call in before the break. Okay, yeah. She said, I got to wind it up. I can go one more call. Okay, I just want to make sure that I do this. I'm telling you, I just got in there. Ms. Hutchison. Hello?
Alderman Tillman.
Yes.
This your friend, Elder Hutchison from our Bishop Ford Church.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
God bless you. I want to call
Thank
because
you.
Alderman Brookins called in Thursday and talked to Cliff Kelly about that the railroad is going to be building a hotel over there behind the Aldi's on 83rd Street. And the hotel is going to be...
They already got a hotel. The hotel is over there by the... they built a hotel, but they're building a hotel by... Not just Aldi's, it's over there by where they got the Walmart, so they can put all their workers that's going to be working on the railroad. I told y'all about this. I told y'all about this a month ago.
Yes, and I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, I tried to tell y'all. Y'all wouldn't listen. I told you, follow the railroads and follow the bullets.
And they build it in the heart of a black community, and along the railroad is going to be able to.
Well, they're building it because they're building it for their workers, because they're going to be doing a lot of work in the black community with the railroads as they take the land. That's all.
Well, I couldn't believe that when I heard him say that the other day.
Okay, thank you. But they should have stopped it. They could have bye-bye. They could have. They bet all our land and stuff that was given up to these railroad people. That's really deep. Reverend Weatherspoon, you got 30. You got 1 minute before I go to break.
If y'all hold on.
Put Reverend Weatherspoon back on. Put him on hold. Look, y'all, we're talking about many things, whatever you want to talk about. We want to talk about without sanctuary, how we are not, we don't have sanctuary, what's happening to it. It's interesting that black folks run from stuff when white folks did something to us. Kendrick Johnson, this young man who was murdered, we're still without sanctuary, economically and everything else, and all things that they're playing with us on. We don't have to be scared of nothing, y'all. We also don't have to think we can't do nothing. We can do anything that we want to do. We just don't have to be scared. And those who have reaped the benefits have got to rebuild our community. They are just as much to blame as the so-called bangers, y'all said, and the shooting, those who take their economics and leave the community. So those are things that we need to kind of just talk about. I got Crystal and Mark and the rest of you holding on because I'm going to have to take a break. I just came back from New York. I went to see the Motown. And I'm here, and look, they're going to be coming here in April with the play. And we're going to be working with them on some things at Harold Washington. We also still need your support at the Harold Washington Culture Center, 773-373-1900. But we got a lot to talk about and a lot to deal with. This school system, if a community does not get angry and upset by the way their babies are being treated, something wrong with them. There's something wrong with them. We got to be, maybe I go out with Anthony Hamilton. Can I give him a minute here, or do I have any time over there, Courtney? I told Courtney that I was at the airport for like 4 hours. I had to wait before I got in here. So I'm sleepwalking this morning, y'all. I'm trying to wake up and talk to y'all, and I'm very upset about many, many things when I look and I see. And I know the power that we as a people have. How when I looked at the music, how they that was a long range plan. Stop us from doing the music. I want you to remember that when they forced Barry out of the business, took all of his artists. Them artists did not ever make another song. Talk of Chicago, 1690, 773-591-1690. We're streaming live, www.thepavilion.com. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, and we also on Blog Talk. I want you to call your friends and tell them that we own Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tillman at DON. Get your coffee, get your tea, and come on back. We'll be right back and talk to me.
WBON.com. The website. Check it out.
The talk of Chicago and the voice of the nation is 1690 WBON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Kristen Welker at the White House, where President Obama is using his weekly media message to urge the Congress to get the debt ceiling raised and reopen the government.
Let's pass a budget, put people back to work, and end this Republican shutdown. Let's pay our bills and prevent an economic shutdown. Then let's get back to the work of the American people.
The Congress is working this weekend. NBC's Luke Russert is there with them and says the Republican conference is trying to get something put together for a vote.
Possibly have legislation on the floor as early as today, or perhaps it could lead into Sunday or even early next week.
The Senate will vote today on a Democratic bill to lift the debt limit through the end of next year. Republicans say they will reject that. The Statue of Liberty will reopen this weekend despite the ongoing federal government partial shutdown. New York State and the feds made a deal yesterday to let the state pay more than $61,000 a day to make it happen. In Arizona, the same kind of a deal will allow the Grand Canyon Park to reopen. This is NBC News Radio. A 9-year-old boy who flew from Minneapolis to Las Vegas without a ticket or boarding pass is scheduled to come home this morning. NBC's Kevin Tybalt is at the Minneapolis airport.
There's a bit of history here with this boy. He has been in trouble with the law in some cases. He was found to have supposedly stolen a car, and that car damaged other vehicles as he was driving down the road. His own father says that he is at his wit's end.
Strong winds and heavy rains are pounding India's eastern coastline today. A cyclone, the equivalent of a Category 4 hurricane, is bearing down on it. Hundreds of thousands have taken shelter. And Bruce Springsteen will be receiving his official welcome into the American Academy of Arts and Sciences today. The prestigious honorary society draws members from all fields and provides policy research into a variety of areas, including art, culture, education, technology, energy, and global security. At the White House, I'm Kristen Welker, NBC News Radio.
Do you live with stress? If you have nervousness or common everyday anxiety, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're sending risk-free supplies of a fast-acting supplement to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls right now will learn how to get a risk-free bottle of Stress Block. A naturally derived formula that promotes feelings of calmness, focus, and well-being in a great-tasting chewable. Supplies for this risk-free offer are limited, so don't wait. Just call 1-800-516-6919. Stress Block is a fast-acting, non-prescription formula to support relaxation without causing drowsiness. Your nervousness is guaranteed to begin fading like magic in no time. This special risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for this exclusive Stress Block risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-516-6919. That's 1-800-516-6919. Call 1-800-516-6919.
What time is it? You know what time it is. It's time to get work done on your home. Look, the rain is not going to go away. Your gutters, your roof, your siding, your tug pointing, all of that work needs to get done right now. And that's why I want you to call our friends at Pyramid General Construction Company, 773-804-9999. Let their experts come out and give you an inspection. They'll tell you exactly what you need to get done. You need to protect the outside of your home. That's the most important thing you can do this summer. And that's where our friends at Pyramid General Construction Company come into play. Give them a call right now, 773-804-9999. And what about work inside the home? They cover that as well. You need a new kitchen, bathroom, they do it all, and they will bang out your basement as well. Don't wait until it's too late. Do it right now. Pyramid General Construction Company, 773-804-9999.
Hi, this is Teresa Deer, host of Let's Get to Work, heard Saturdays from 8 a.m. to 9:30. America is on the road to recovery, bringing new jobs and new opportunities. Join us as we explore ways to help you get the job you want, keep the job you have, and secure the job that's waiting for you. Join us Saturdays, 8 a.m. to 9:30, as we empower, enable, and equip you with the information you need to get the job you want. Let's Get to Work, heard exclusively on the Talk of Chicago, WBON.
the Black Perspectives program at the Chicago International Film Festival was founded 17 years ago in collaboration with legendary filmmaker Spike Lee. The Black Perspectives program was created to break down barriers, shatter stereotypes, and showcase talented filmmakers capturing the richness and diversity of black cultures around the world. This year, the festival will highlight films such as 12 Years a Slave, The Inevitable Defeat of Mr. and Pete with director George Tillman Jr. and starring Jennifer Hudson, Alice Walker, Beauty and Truth, Mandela, Long Walk to Freedom, H4 with Harry Lennox, and many more. Come see the films and meet the directors at the 49th Chicago International Film Festival, October 10th through the 24th. The full schedule is online at chicagofilmfestival.com. For ticket information, call 312-332-FILM. That's 312-332-FILM. Or visit chicagofilmfestival.com. Tickets on sale now.
Hey, summer may be over, but you know at WVON, the fun continues. It's time to laugh out loud as WVON heads to Jokes and Notes for a night of comedy and variety talent. See one of the funniest men in comedy, Lil Rel.
My uncle just bought a Bluetooth, right? And he think he got to tell the Bluetooth to do stuff for it to work. So it was a bunch of young dudes in his grass, and he had his Bluetooth on. Bluetooth look like Trump. He gonna sell that crack cocaine, do it on the street, not on my grass. They like, man, you ain't gonna do nothing, man. We'll kill you. Kill me? No, you won't. Bluetooth, what's this?
Also appearing, comedian Chastity Washington. Then, if you think you have what it takes to be a comedian, crack a good joke, you can sign up for our open mic. You'll also get a chance to see some of your favorite WVON personalities and staff show off their talents. It's WVON's Laugh Out Loud Comedy and Variety Show Thursday, October 17th at Jokes and Notes, 4641 South King Drive. Doors open at 6, show starts at 7. Admission is only $10. Get there early, seating is first come. Come first serve. This show will be laugh out loud funny for adults only.
Another perspective.
Tune in to Another Perspective with Dr. Leon Finney every Saturday from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WVON and get a fresh new point of view. You can be more connected with Another Perspective.
Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective. Another perspective.
This is Linnell Harris, Chicago's very own life coach, and I'm the host of Inspirational Perspective. Tune in every Saturday evening at 10 p.m. to get motivated and inspired for the new week. Inspirational Perspective on your radio is all about murdering mediocrity and living your best life possible. Tune in every Saturday at 10 p.m. right here on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. WVON.
Hi, this is Cornell West.
And I'm Tavis Smiley.
And we're pleased to be heard once again in the great city of Chicago.
And better yet, this signal spills over into my home state of Indiana. So I guess we have to get Mama a new aerial for her roof in Kokomo.
Oh, that's so nice. We want you to join us for unique conversations and perspectives as we keep the focus on the least of these.
That's Smiley and West today at 11 right here on WVON, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate to get help wherever I could.
They promised they would help me. It seemed legitimate.
I paid them a fee and never heard from them again.
I lost thousands of dollars and my home.
Every day, loan modification scammers target homeowners who are worried about foreclosure. Anyone can be a victim, but you don't have to be. Avoid any person or company who asks for a fee in advance, who guarantees they can stop a foreclosure or modify a loan, or who tells you to stop paying your mortgage company. For trusted, government-approved help and to report a scam, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. You can also visit www.loanscamalert.org.
Information is your best defense.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
I was facing foreclosure. I was desperate to get help wherever I could.
They promised they would help me. It seemed legitimate.
I paid them a fee and never heard from them again.
I lost thousands of dollars and my home.
Every day, loan modification scammers target homeowners who are worried about foreclosure. Anyone can be a victim, but you don't have to be. Avoid any person or company who asks for a fee in advance, who guarantees they can stop a foreclosure or modify a loan, or who tells you to stop paying your mortgage company. For trusted, government-approved help and to report a scam, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. You can also visit www.loanscamalert.org.
Information is your best defense.
Know the signs. Get the facts.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WVON, you're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, the talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind.
I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind, I don't mind. I've been to the mountaintop, I've been to the mountaintop. Ooh, Dr. King, he allowed me to go up and I looked over and I seen the promised land. We as a people might, I might not get there with you, but we as a people will get there. Oh, Dr. King. Everybody thinks he's talking about pie in the sky. So I said, well, we might not be no pie in the sky when you die. He's not talking about pie in the sky. He's talking about, if I'm going to sacrifice my life for my people, I know that they're going to come together. And if they get these resources, come back and rebuild, everybody else has. And he just couldn't see those who got too frightened to come back, that they would run. He just didn't understand nothing like that. It's 7 o'clock. In the 7 o'clock hour, 7:14 is your time to take that deep breath wherever you are in the country, in the world, in the city, in the state, in the county, to take this deep breath. And let's go, Courtney and Ebony and everybody out there that's listening. Let's take it. Black, 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 black. One more time. Black, 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 black. Ooh, we feel so good. Don't be ashamed to be black. You cannot be ashamed to be black. We've been talking about Kendrick Johnson today. We've also been talking about, you know, without sanctuary. Black people are still without sanctuary in this country. They move you, run you away from your land if they want to. Get off. I want this. You have no right to be around parks and transportation and all of this. And you have no right to have jobs or to have ownership. You have no right to have a Harold Washington Culture Center because we'll take it and give it to City College and try to take it from you and give it to anybody because you can't have it. You can't have a business, or you can't be SB full, or you can't. The symbolism. You better not build a statue of Harold Washington standing on that corner. A black man standing upright. You can't do things like that. Or you can't teach your black children. Teachers, now you know how I feel. They just wipe you out. We're all in one. Once you're going to understand that we are all one, how do you go from 40% to less than 10% without sanctuary? How do these schools not teach you? We don't have any kind of education. Separate and unequal. That's the creed. That's what's going on without sanctuary. The violence, the unemployment, without sanctuary. Our music, what happened in Tulsa. We don't even talk about Tulsa anymore. We don't talk about Rosewood. I mean, this is the sanctuary, the Emmett Till, the murder, the lynching, the killing, the psychological killing, the physical killing. And this is why we are for reparation, repairing the damage. How do we have that Marshall Plan to repay this damage? How can you tell me that Kendrick Johnson went into a rug and killed himself? Because a black man's life ain't worth nothing. But you know what? I want you to listen to me before I go back to the song. Dr. King Bevel told me, really, that the outside community would keep, you know, when you look at a community, the way it treats itself is the way other folks are going to treat it and think they can get away with it. So if we treat ourselves a certain kind of way, other folks are going to think they can do the same thing and get away with it. We got a lot to do, y'all, and they think that our people are cowards. They think that we're scary and that we're selfish. They think we all can be bought off, we can be scared off. When you get a movement going, they send their operatives in to take the drop and to walk away and leave you out there and kill your spirit. But our sanctuary. And people who have a principle of understanding would just sell you out. But our sanctuary. I saw some of these folks going to jail the other day over this immigration thing. I don't have time for that. Black folks suffering too much. What are you willing to go to jail for black people? When your tax dollars are being spent everywhere but on you, and you think it's all right, something is wrong without sanctuary. These young men come out here, they come out of jail, and they're in the shadows. They can't get jobs. They can't get housing, can't get education because it's not rehabilitation. Our jails are not for rehabilitation anymore. It's to turn out criminals and more criminals to go back into the prison system without sanctuary, as Michelle Alexander said to me, Jim Crow. Kendrick Johnson murdered for his organs and his body stuffed with newspaper. Nothing wrong with that. I have faith in black people, and I believe that we're going to be all right. And one other thing before I go to the phone. You know, people say, we need to pool our resources and we can have some. How do you expect a little big man to pool some resources? That's a question for next week if you want to deal with it. Because we need to get into that. If the resources that need to get pooled are those who have rolled our backs to make it to the top, to pool their resources. We start building 47th Street, black folks came. So the resources got to be pooled by those who got it to bring it to the masses and not join in with the enemy. What's our sanctuary? Lynch Barbecue. You listen to Talk of Chicago, 1690. That is Vivian. Our number 773-591-1690. We are streaming live, www.vivian.com. We are also on iHeartRadio. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. Go to Coffee Tea, Dorothy Tillman. Find us on if you want to get us on Blog Talk. We are on blackplanet.com. I'm going to go back to the phone, and I'm going to come to you. I'm going to go to Crystal in Tennessee and see what she's talking about. She's been holding for a long time. Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, and it's just a pleasure to listen to you.
Thank you.
And we were thinking of the same thing, especially when you mentioned Tulsa, Oklahoma. I remember when Upscale magazine had an article when they first started off, and they had an article in there by a woman who experienced the Tulsa, Oklahoma thing.
Right.
And she wrote about, you might have read it because you're a reader too.
She wrote a letter to her sister,
yeah. And she talked about how horrible that murder was. But you know what she said? She said, you all didn't hear about there was a big old flood in Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
She said over 500 people lost their Europeans lost their lives in Colorado. She said she thought that was God's intervening, how mean they had treated the Africans, the Negroes there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I think that she was completely right on that.
Well,
now what
know,
I told you,
Crystal, we used to lay down south. You know, when the storm came, we had the little shotgun house with a stick on it. The wind would come and go past us. And we'll tear up the bricks, and we said, the only way you're going to get messed up in a hurricane or a storm is that you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, because if you're with your own, you might not get blown away, if you understand what I mean.
Yes.
You missed that, but go on.
Okay, what I was going to say also, I want your opinion of this, and that is, now you see, 8,000 people lost their lives there in Haiti because the United Nations allowed their soldiers to come in and put their sanitation sewers over the drinking water there. I remember we might have complained on your show about it. The Haitians complained, but there was nothing done about it. So now they are demanding, they have won that, and they have demanded that $100,000 be given to each person who lost their lives, and then $50,000 be given to those who are still sick. But the United Nations don't want to pay. I just got back from Africa. I was also over there in New York not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. I love New York, but I just wanted to get your. And then the last thing I wanted to say, please, Dorothy, is now we lost 200 and some lives from people there in Eritrea, trying to get away from Eritrea. And I want to put the two things together.
You're talking too fast, ma'am. You lost how many where?
We lost 200 trying to get away into Italy. 200 coming from Eritrea, which is the other side of Ethiopia.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Okay.
That one. Mm-hmm. And then they lost 8,000 in Haiti. Now, they kept talking about, always talking about us being poor and poverty stricken. Don't believe it. You know we're not poor.
Well, let me.
Harold Washington building, you doing and all them beautiful plays and your wonderful children. We're not poor.
Well, Crystal, the problem is that one of the reasons they keep the descendants of enslaved try to hold us down, because if we're strong, the rest of the black diaspora is strong. Thank you. Thank you so much. The rest of the diaspora is strong if we're strong. Mark, how you doing?
Good morning. I just want to say to you, please just make the call. We don't have to just talk about it. We are seriously in trouble.
I haven't heard from you in a long time. I just realized who you were.
I've been underground.
Have you been
in the housing court?
Have you been listening?
Yeah. Okay. I heard you on Matt McGill's show the other day talking about this fake black and brown relationship. There is no black and brown relationship.
Oh, no. Them folks got all the contracts. They don't need us. They got everything. We the only one. They rolled our back so much until we bent down. They got everything. We better try to look within and see what we got. You know, right to the airport, no contract. Look at your women, no contract. Look at your schools, $90 million. Good. We don't have schools. Other folks are taking care of their own. And black folks are frightened, Mark. See, black folks are scared to take care of themselves because they scared. They think that most of your leaders and the people.
If you say black, they feel like if you say black, then you racist. And these black folks that feel like we racist are saying.
Well, only because they're sick. Let me tell you, Mark. They're sick. Don't get mad at them.
No, I'm not mad at them, but I can't let them keep doing it without saying something about it.
Okay.
Because people think that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something that's very important that we're not paying attention to. I go to the housing courts every day. They have what they call the Trouble Building Initiative. This is how they're taking the land in our community.
With a red
the Trouble Building Initiative. The guy, Jack Markowski, who used to be over the Department of Housing, started the Trouble Building Initiative back in 2003. Now he's the head of the biggest lien holder in the city of Chicago, which is CIC, and then second to that is NHS.
These I know you're telling groups, the truth. Now, I know about
that. These two groups are the organizations that they're using to take the property outside of the foreclosures.
Mm-hmm.
There's 130,000 foreclosures and pre-foreclosures in the city of Chicago, mostly in our community. In Chatham, over 2,000 foreclosures.
Now, hold that right there, Chatham. Mm-hmm. And I've talked to a lot of people, and I told them, follow the bullets. I mean, they're doing the shooting in Chatham because they want the building. And
that's
folks of Chatham people thought they could not be touched at one point. But right now, they're coming for Chatham because Chatham is a very key community. And so is the lakefront. When you look at the lake coming in South Shore and all the other places, they got to follow. If they follow the bullets, they can follow the land and follow the plan.
Here's what I want from you. I mean, because you got a mic in your hand. I told Matt McGill the same thing. Y'all got the mic in your hand. Call the people together because. Look, they got you paying attention to the people got shot, the Voting Rights Act. That's not those things are not more important than the land grab. Because once they move you off the land, then the violence stops.
It's interesting you would say that because I think that was my platform that y'all misunderstood, that it was about the land. And that's why they came after me because of the land. I was fighting for the land. You know?
Especially when you brought that ordinance out.
Right?
But
I want to show you how people can use black people, and they have to grow to a point that they understand. Because when you and I had our conflict, I don't think that you understood what I was trying to do. And they put misinformation out, and they have people coming after folks who's trying to come at something because of misinformation. And they gave you another misinformation. Now they got other folks out here with misinformation.
Well,
got to make sure that we, those of us who know, got to come together and do what we have to do.
But see, you got an even bigger voice now. Whatever happened in the past, we got to get past that. Right
oh,
now.
I passed that, Mark. I was telling you that I was using it as an example of how misinformation is put out through our community.
Oh, without a doubt.
To remove
without
those who are fighting for you. That's all I'm saying. And it is a land grab. And when you
real. But see, it was a land grab all the time. Mm-hmm. But under this mayor, it is in full force right now.
Well, I don't think he's moving any faster than Daley was moving. He's just doing a continuation.
Here's the difference. When Daley was in there, they had stenographers in court that can track what the judge.
No, the stenographers have not been in court for years.
Well, Tim Evans just said that he had to take them out because
they've been out for years. Well, listen to me, Mark.
Okay.
Our unit has been a long time. They took them out. I'm not saying they've been out of court for years, and I was hollering when they took them out. I know when we went in, and we've been fighting for Harold Washington. Every time we went to the circuit court, we had us a stenographer because you cannot rely on the judge just writing something in. Stenographer should be put back in the court. I agree.
Let me say this last thing about how they're doing this. Two ways that they're taking the properties through the Trouble Building Initiative. One, the building inspector comes out, look at your building from the outside, then they pull you into housing court. Then they get you to agree to they do that interior inspection, they give your property to a receiver because you don't have money.
Right.
Two, the second way they do it, when you go to NHS and you want that weatherization program, they tell you, well, you know, we'll give you the windows and the back porch, but you got to let us inspect your building. Once you let them in your building, they bring a building inspector with them. That building inspector then takes that report back to the housing court, and the housing court pull you in. They appoint a receiver. And guess who gets your house? The same person that you went for the weatherization program.
Right.
Get the receiver on your property. And they just fund it through CDBG money, federal money.
But I'm saying it's not new, Mark. This has been going on for a little while. And that's what we've been hollering.
Right, it's not new. They started in 2003. But I'm saying to you, could you please let's make the call about this housing fight? Because they say, well, okay, well, they can rebound off the school fight. Now, this is the system saying about the people. They can rebound off the school fight. They can rebound.
I think it's all important, Mark. We can't do it. It's all important. Certainly not the land.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't do it. I'm saying to you, we should add, we should make the housing fight top of the list and organize the school fight, the fight around violence, all that stuff together, all up under the housing fight. If they take the land, if they knock the buildings down like they knocked the buildings down on State Street, the violence is gone now. All the problems are gone once they take the house. It's about the land. And through the trouble building initiative is the biggest way that they're taking land. The foreclosures are too big. They can't do it through that because the system is not big enough to process the paperwork. But through this trouble building initiative, they're not only taking it, but they're taking it.
Hurry up, I got to go because the board is lit up. I gave you a lot because you were talking about the housing and the land, and I think that's very, very important.
Okay,
what's going on?
I mean, I just
well,
want you to make
you always ask me to make calls, Mark, but we got to, I mean, the people out there got to decide that they got to fight back and what all we have to do.
They're ready. They're ready out there.
You're always telling me that, Mark.
I'm telling you they're ready.
Okay, Mark, I'm going to talk to you. I got to take more calls. Thank you, Mark. I wanted Mark to give that information because I'm very clear on the land question. When I told Mark, yeah, bygones are bygones, but misinformation. People do get misinformation, and they move based off their community and based off their misinformation. James, how you doing this morning? Kendrick Johnson, you want to talk about it? It's a shame what happened with our sanctuary. Any deal all over again?
Yes, ma'am. You speaking to me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, good morning, ma'am.
All right.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Matter of fact, I don't even know if I had the honor of talking to you before.
Really, sir? Well, you sure got a nice voice. I like your voice.
Oh, well, thank you, ma'am. Thank you. You're going to have to hear it more sometime.
Thank you, sir.
As the lady was just talking about as God punishing whites, well, he must have been punishing us for over 400 years. Now, we all know the young boy in Georgia was lynched. He's just another one in a long history of us being lynched.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know that. But here's the bottom line, sister. We was not enslaved in these wildernesses of North America to be citizens. All the woods.
Oh, no. And right now, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America is treated worse than anybody. And they know every time we move, they move to move on us. And until we understand that, then we're going to continue to be in trouble.
Right. Now, all the woods been chopped, sister. All the cotton been picked. They sing like us. They dance like us. They blow up their breast, they blow up their behind, they blow up their lips. Now, outside of the great white father needing a few sisters in the stable, we are not needed anymore.
Well,
now, right now, what we're seeing the power structure. They are creating an atmosphere of chaos and violence for us to be outright slaughtered in this country. See, genocide been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And every time genocide happens, Ms. Tillman, people always wonder, how did that happen? What were people doing?
You know what's so funny?
And they're going to say the same thing about us.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody. I said, I have people talking about, I couldn't live back during that time. How did that happen? I said, wait a minute. What's going on now is even worse because blacks, right now it's black people. Our black people are in pain. And our young blacks and our other blacks can't even, they can't even describe the pain or even know how to fight back, don't know what to do. And then you have, we're caught in a situation where those who reap the benefits went running. They're scared of what the master going to say if they come back to rebuild the community. So it is, I mean, we cannot be cowards. You know, a coward will be a slave. And that's king to the man can't ride your back if it's not bent. Thank you, James. Let's straighten our back.
Hey, man, one last thing. Genocide by any other name is still genocide. Now, listen, we cannot stop this genocide here. It's been going on too long.
Oh, well, I'm not going to agree that
okay,
we can't.
You don't have to, ma'am. But
okay.
Africa is next. Africa have one slim chance. They are next.
They're already over in Africa, Jim.
I know, but they're gonna slaughter them like they finna slaughter.
Come on, we there's some hope, James. Call me back again. I keep listening.
Okay.
We can do this, James. We'll keep listening. I'm gonna tell. We're gonna keep on till we can walk.
Here, we're done for.
You. Well, you ain't told me where you gonna go. Where you gonna go do it at then? You can't do it here.
No, what I'm trying to tell you, Africa have one slim chance. If you give me a chance, I'm gonna tell you.
Well, you gotta call back though, cause the phone, okay. the borders lit up.
Hey, ma'am.
Okay, you know. We are the descendants of enslaved Africans in America, and we are African-Americans, which means that our race is African. Our country is America, just like Haitians when you look at the Jamaicans who was all came from the diaspora, they came through the transatlantic slave and different folks was dropped off. Brazil, they was dropped off. A Ghanaian from Ghana, a Nigerian from Nigeria, and all these folks have their country, even though they're Africans. Our common bond is the African race. But if we think like that, then we don't think that we have a right to these resources. We have a right to everything over here, and we can muscle up a fight. It's very easy to say, no, we got to go back to Africa and fight here. You jump across the water. What makes you think anybody wants you? Where are you going over there? And what makes you think anybody wants you to come over there? You can't fight over here. How in the hell are you going to fight over there, James? Come on, call me back next week, James. Reverend Weatherspoon, how you doing?
I'm blessed, Dorothy. Bless you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we do your restoration. We need sanctuary in the community. But the problem is, though, we can't get the priesthood on one accord. We can't get our apostolic movement and raise up and push that for willing to fight for economic development out of our own vision, our own community.
Mm-hmm. Well, Reverend Motherspoon, as they see, there was an all-out attack on the black community. And black folks think they just shot Dr. King in the head. And they killed Malcolm X. You got to turn your radio down, Reverend Weatherspoon. Because you got a bat. You got this. You got to turn your radio down. But the assault was on everything. The total holistic, they had a holistic approach to black America, the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. That's real. Don't nobody, you have got to believe that. And it went to our churches. What was a church to a black man? Folks don't understand it was when you went to Mr. Charlie's house and picked his cotton and cleaned his house and got disrespected and all the things. On Sunday morning, you could be Sister So-and-so, Mr. Jones. You ran the churches. You ran the usher boards. It was a sense of dignity that you found there that you found nowhere else. But also, Reverend Weatherspoon, you had black theology with black liberation. And so when they murdered Dr. King, they made a lot of black ministers went and hid up under the gun bed.
Right.
You ain't going to blow my brains out like that.
Right.
They're not doing. They have more
right.
people in their congregation than anybody. We have more churches in our community than
right.
any other race. But they got to stop being scared and trying to make folks talk about pie in the sky and understand
right.
that my God is real. And if you
right.
fight in his name, God don't want no coward soldier. You can't use
right.
no coward soldier.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's
right.
what we got to do.
Yeah. Well,
okay.
God, get work up, dog. We love listening to you and talking to you on Saturday morning. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Thank you. I mean, I'm calling on these churches. We can't do this by ourselves. I go to church on Sunday. I'm at Transformation. Dr. Andrew Hunt, great minister, come out of the Martin Luther King tradition, young, come out of Liberty. He was, Pastor Jackson was all part of Dr. King's movement when we came in. He's one of those ministers. And Liberty was a liberal black theology with black liberation. And we have it our 50th anniversary with Pastor Hunt this year. Took Sunday, y'all. We're on 110th in Indiana. You want to join us. We're going to have a great time. But the thing that we talk about is what these pastors put in these people's mind. Oh, don't you worry. Oh, God's going to come paint your house. God's going to come paint your house. And that I don't know what according to God's going to come paint your house. And when he paints your house, you can go on up and he's going to move the furniture. No, God is not in no, he don't go paint no house. You got to get up and move and get that brush yourself and go and thank him for that. You got it and you're going to paint. Dr. King said that ministers and religious people, I didn't say people who believe in God or spirituality, and religious people use God as to be cowards. He going to take care of me, and I ain't got to do nothing. Bull. Bull. I made you in my image. You're God. Ooh, God having human experience, and you can call things into being. You made this ready. Hey, look at this radio. Look at your car. Look at your house. You call things into being. You don't be no coward. And I think a lot of these ministers have dumbed it down in their congregation. Just bring your tithes and drop them in here, and let's just shout and jump up and down. There's no, just like they're taking our music, they've also taken our spiritual music. You don't know what you listen to. A bang, 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 and a boom, 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 and a jump up and down and turn around. Uh-uh. That's how spirituality is taken away from us. And I do blame, our ministers got scared when they killed Dr. King when they murdered him and shot him in the head. But if you are a man of God, you know what I'm talking about, Father Flager. If you are a man of God, then you know that you don't have to be scared. If you are a man and understand spirituality, there's no reason why the black community should be moving like this, because there's nobody. You can go on one corner and count 10 churches. Something wrong with that. Love y'all madly, though. Is anybody worried? Ministers, are you worried? Are we worried about Kenneth, what happened to him? Are we worried? Ain't nobody worried. Some of us worried. Joe and Mark, I know you're listening. Hey, y'all, play this. It's Anthony Hamilton. One thing being in New York with the Motown show, I realized the story they were telling. That's why they took over our music, our churches, because they don't know about telling the story. But somebody, we're going to play that song by this boy did for Kendall. At least he told the story. Come on, y'all. Kendall Johnson. Hey! Come on, Anthony. Anthony Hamilton.
The homeless have nowhere to turn when the stomach starts to burn, cause they ain't got food to eat. How the children gonna learn when they gotta take turns, cause they ain't got books to read. Then our babies turn to cry, started getting high, cause the job train's kinda slow. Cause ain't nobody worrying no more, no more, no more, no more, no more. When the tears start to fall,
yes, yes, yes. I hope you listen, minister and leader.
You don't have to fall. Ain't nobody worried.
I'm worried. Come on, y'all. That's how the children feel.
Please, our precious time. This is a single life. Medicaid ran out. Show me a weapon. There's a mother on the phone trying to beat the drought.
Regular radio or nothing. Our story, that's what Barry did. They began to tell our story in the civil rights movement. And they just snatched this stuff as they made that onslaught with the churches, with the music, with the leaders. And they start making you think your community. Why is our community not all dirty because of us? Look at the grass growing out the sidewalk. Phil, we're going to go on that too. I just had to go out of town this week. But look at it. They let you depressed and you run from it while they're moving in. Is anybody worried? Let me go to South Carolina. Michelle from South Carolina, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Let me get you off the speaker.
Thank you. Hurry up. Okay.
Yeah, I'll get you off the speaker.
Uh-huh.
I had called earlier, well, a few weeks back, and I was telling you how they're closing the rec schools in my little community, Clifton. Anyway, the principal of the middle school, so in 5 years, they've closed all the schools. No, yet, well, it's just two. They closed the two schools that we have. The principal of the middle school that they closed, her husband is a part of the police department. And they were saying that particular school needed to be closed because of the drug problem around the school. And they would have these news flashes of how people were picked up around the school. And the person that would be involved in that arrest would be a confidential informant.
That's so deep. It's like they're setting it up. They're setting it up.
They did set it up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's official. The school board, and I need someone who knows this information. Can a school board put a tax on the city as a whole?
I don't know about Carolina, but if the taxpayers in Illinois and Chicago look at their tax bill, the school board do tax us. I spend an awful lot of money. A lot of my tax dollars from both my office and my house goes to the school, goes to the park in Chicago, and in the state of Illinois you can. I don't know about Carolina. Yes, the school board can levy taxes. I know they levy them here. I don't know what your charter is in South Carolina.
Okay. I just wanted to let you know how.
Okay. And then look, the schools that they close, it's really, when you look at those schools, you can also think about those are the areas they're trying to take, too. Thank you, Michelle. But you can ask somebody, ask your representative, do you have home rule to do that? The school boards here do it, and most folks don't even realize how much tax dollars we give out of our property tax to the school board. Okay, Michelle. Thank you, Michelle. I tell you.
Wes on Blog Talk from Atlanta. How you doing?
First, I want to give all praise. Yeah, you hear me?
Yeah.
You hear me? Yeah. First of all, I want to give all praise to the Most High for letting me be able to speak to you. But, Ms. Dolphin, you're absolutely correct about the sanctuary. They invading the last sanctuary. You know what that is? With the mind. I sent you the information about how they technically invading everybody. And you're absolutely correct. They're getting in the last sanctuary, invading people's mind. And so James kind of right. But unlike you, we can't be fatalists and get scared. So thank God and all praise to you that you're getting the information out that I sent you. Okay?
Okay.
Ebony
said she got it. Okay. I want Atlanta to keep listening on Blog Talk when you can't get on Blog Talk.
And check out that information, man. Mr. Lexus and everybody else is right. But they're invading people's minds, making people do this stuff, Ms. Doctor.
Of course they're invading it. I mean, people are going to think you're crazy, but I know it's real. Okay, thank you and keep listening in Atlanta. Thank you so much, Ebony. Put it back. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Out of enough, right. We are all natural. We're going for our organic certification for produce. And
okay.
We're operating right at Dunn Elementary School, 10845 South Union Avenue.
Okay.
And we were selected, no one knows this, Dorothy, but we were selected as the 50 States for Good recipient for Illinois. This is our fourth year, so we are representing Illinois as the profit, not profit, that's doing good in the community.
Well, let me ask you, Daryl. So you have greens out there every day? All black folks took collard greens on Sunday.
Come out. My name is Daryl Gibson. I'm the director of the organization. You can go to seedschicago.org.
Seedschicago.org.
You'll see.
What I'm going to do, because I can't give you enough justice and time, because I really want to talk about health, because, you know, I studied under Dr. Avenia Fulton, so I do understand health. What I want you to do is I'm going to put you on hold.
Senior citizens, jump over our fence coming after the greens.
Okay, well,
I'll jump over the fence coming after the greens.
I'm going to let everybody.
I want to make the offer that the first 100 of your listeners, they mention your show, they can come over and get 3 to 4 pounds of greens. That's slick mustard.
I might be coming to get my greens for dinner tomorrow.
You come. Well, look, you make sure you come.
I got to come that way. What time do you start?
We're starting at 9 o'clock this morning.
10845 South Union?
No. 10845 South Union. Dunn Elementary School.
Okay. Well, hold on. Everybody go get your number. Okay? Because I might want to have you back just to talk about that. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Ebony, get
absolutely.
Him, please. Thank you so much. Put him a hold, Courtney. Brother Plump, we lost him. Call back, Daryl. Plump, how you doing? Call back, Daryl, and give Ebony your number. Plump? Brother Plump? Brother
back,
Plump.
Back.
Yeah, how
yes,
you doing?
Back.
All the way. All the way. Good morning.
How you doing today, Ms. Kim?
I'm fine.
Yes. First, I'd just like to say happy belated birthday to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, October 7th, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and also I'd just like to say that we are the greatest people in this world, the red, black, and green.
Mm-hmm.
All the men is kings, all of the women are queens, the children are boys are prince, and the girls are princes.
Okay, hurry up now.
I am Black Power Without the Gun. And I'd just like to invite everybody out to our jobs and opportunity for
give us the address so I can move on, Plump. Come on now.
Yes.
What's your address?
We are located at 235 East 58th Street.
What time you want them out there?
From 2:30 to 4:30 every time we're out there from 11 to 7 every day, and I can be reached at 312-671-2773.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless
you.
We love you. Love you too. Thank you so much. I tell you, Don from Riverdale, Black Think Tank.
Well, good morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
I am absolutely overwhelmed to be able to speak with you, but let me get right to the point.
Okay.
You understand the path of self-destruction that black people are definitely on.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask your information, your idea, your concept of what do you think would be the most significant thing, the first strategic step that black people can take in order to get ourselves off this path of self-destruction. If you can tell me real quickly.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm writing this down, and I want you to wake up early next Saturday. It's going to take a little time, and I'm going to talk about this. Because we have really
you're going to talk about that?
Yeah, I'll talk about it. I want you to. I want time to explain that to you, because first of all.
Okay, you know what? That's real good. We made that point, and now we have a plan in order to resolve that issue. Now, the next important step, next important comment I wanted to make was that our paralegal outreach, the Just Us Paralegal Outreach, and several other community organizations in Englewood, Riverdale, Roseland, we are developing what we call a black think tank. And guess who we want to be in it? black. Dorothy Tillman, because we ain't going to have no think tank if she ain't thinking with us.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now, and I want to ask you, the next step would be getting our ministers and our churches together. So
that's going to be very important, and that's why I said I need some time, because the churches
okay,
are going to have to play
what?
A role.
Next week I'm going to call in.
You need to talk to Ebony now so she can get more information from you. Ebony, put down on hold to get more information from
you. Okay, thank you. I love you.
Love you, too. Thank you. Okay, get more information from him, Ebony. Robert, how you doing?
Good morning, Councilwoman.
Good
how
morning.
You doing today?
All right.
All right. This is something I want to say is very, very important. I think it went over a lot of people's heads. I'm in my 40s, okay, and I remember watching you with Harold Washington back
mm-hmm.
in the day,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I've seen you on TV. You fighting a lot of those, you know, Ed Burke and all those guys. I
uh-huh.
remember that.
Mm-hmm.
You were tough in the city council. Now, the problem I have is all this stuff about the school closings and the changing the neighborhoods around and all the stuff that Emanuel was doing. You know what? You know, they went downtown, the city hall, to the mayor's office and picketed and all that other stuff. They went to the wrong place. They should all went to the alderman's office. These aldermen ain't got no guts, because I know good and good you wouldn't let that happen.
Well,
and you know, and the thing about it is, these black aldermen we have now, they are weak. They let their neighborhoods go to trash. They're under Emanuel's thumb. This school closing and all this other crap that he's doing around the city wouldn't happen unless they allowed it.
But you know what, Robin, I want to be clear, and I'm not trying to. Mayor Emanuel been in office for 2 years, and I know he's playing his role in what he's doing, what he have his agenda is. But you remember a lot of this stuff was put under before he got here. In the last few years, they started accelerating, doing that Olympic time and all the other time. Remember, they started accelerating some other kind of stuff, and they started moving real fast. So
you understand
what I'm saying? They started accelerating.
Yeah,
but let me just say that.
Understand that, but still, even on the daily, guess what? A lot of the black aldermen were weak.
No,
a lot of the daily did. You would not have allowed. You would not have allowed that.
I'm gonna try to address this. You know, when we elect people to office, we need to make sure that they got some kind of principle, ideology, and understanding. Sometimes we elect based off of some kind of personality, other stuff. And black folks have got to begin to talk to those that they elect now. And sometimes what I found is you might get one or two down there that want to fight back, and they have no kind of help down there to fight. You have to have an understanding to be able to fight back. But right now, we got to do something here because we're under siege. But the black churches and the black elected officials are going to have to understand that if there are no people, they're not going to be in office no way. And the churches are going to be closed down because white folks don't be wanting all them churches in their community. And we have
right.
to come. You know, we got to look at this thing, Robert.
You're right 100%. That's why I said everybody needs to gather around the aldermen. And
I think it's local. You start with your local elected officials and you spread out. I agree with that.
Yes, because I mean a lot of stuff you just couldn't do without the support of the city council.
Very interesting. You know, the budget hearings in the community. I heard Channel 7 Thomas said that it started on the Daily. Did not start on the Daily. The community budget hearing started on the Harold Washington. Take the budget plan to the community. And Ron Emanuel is not going to the community with the budget hearings. They don't have a community budget here, and they're having some other kind of stuff, and nobody said nothing.
Closed door hearings. Yeah.
Like, you haven't heard anything even about the budget. You know, nobody's down there hollering about black contracts. I got to go. I'm running out of time, Robert, but thank you for calling.
Okay, have a good day.
Thank you. Nope, I mean, black contracts. We've been how many contracts? We don't even know how many black folks are in these departments, how many contracts we have, and I don't know why some of them don't know better because they knew better, they would do better. We have to see what we're going to do here. Rodney, you got 30 seconds.
How you doing, Dr. Jim?
I'm all right.
I think our city council should take a lesson from the Tea Party. They should stick together and demand things. If they don't get what they want, they shut the city down.
Yeah, and that's right. And the power, and see, one thing about you know, the Tea Party is the Tea Party holds their elected officials accountable. They don't play about that. Like, there's no reason why we should be going through this stuff with even Harold Washington. They go over there and give Beverly $2 million and then our folks will understand that how important the Harold Washington Culture Center is to the black community because they don't respect us unless we straighten up our backs, Rodney. Let's straighten them up. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. We have just got to straighten up our backs and just I have faith that we're going to be all right. I really do. And it's time for me to go, y'all. Don't forget about the 18th anniversary of the Meeting Man March. It's going to be in Tuskegee at Tuskegee University October 20th with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, 18th anniversary of the Meeting Man March. We got to make sure that we get there, y'all. I'm planning on going down there. I'm trying to work it out. I've enjoyed this. You can listen to Coffee Tea and a conversation with me, Dorothy Wright Tim, on top of Chicago. We are here every Saturday from 6 to 8 because we black with no cream, only sugar because we sweet. Telling you to join me next week. Until then, reparations now.
Of language, culture, and religion of African descendants with no restriction. They cut children from my queen's guts to inbreed bearing us. My hands rough, my forefathers' hands. God bless us, forced to be a field hand by another white man. Mr. President, I'm here to represent for mine and for the Africa in which you raised and left behind, draining her natural resource so to her people. Pay remorse or feel the force of a former slave. Kidnapped from my land, locked in chains. Brought to a new world to maintain. Fought to survive while my kind's being hanged. Is it over now?
I'm a former slave. I've been shackled and locked in chains. But somehow my soul remains. But I've been holding out.
Walk to your store, vote your whole, tell your business. See me till defenseless. You did this for 400 plus. In the bottom of your ships and at the back of your butt, you'll find us with the black face embedded in stuff. Survivor of America's clutch. Enough is enough. Give us such a huge hidden villain. If we can figure for every crime that was committed and every bigot that got acquitted, and meanwhile, and on exhibit was a black
Next from a tree, we probably be millionaires, equal share across the board, able to afford to rebuild and to restore. Ignored was a black slave, put to death with promised land on its mind and free on its breath.
The talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
NBC News Radio, I'm Alex Witt. It's a working weekend for Congress and the White House as they try to hammer out a deal to reopen the government and raise the debt ceiling. NBC's Kristen Welker is at the White House with the latest.
With polls showing Americans overwhelmingly blame Republicans, lawmakers are inching toward a deal. In his weekly address, President Obama tried to harness the public's frustration.
Our government is closed for the first time in...